Welcome back to Clowncast, the show where we explore topics like they're magic, but they're not, but they kind of are. I'm here with my co-host, and today we are talking about something that, statistically speaking, a huge number of you are going through right now or are about to go through.
Okay, I'm already nervous. What is it?
Starting a new job.
Oh God, yeah, that's a universal anxiety trigger right there.
It is, and here's how I want you to think about it. You just accepted the offer. You're excited. You're terrified. You've got a start date on the calendar. And then a screen appears in front of you. It says, allocate your stats.
Wait, are we doing character creation right now?
We are absolutely doing character creation right now. Because here's the thing nobody tells you. The most consequential decisions of your new job aren't your first commit or your first presentation. They happen in the first 2 weeks, on a benefits enrollment portal. And most people click through them the exact same way they click through a character creation screen at midnight when they just want to play the game.
I feel so called out. I have literally spent 4 to 5 minutes on the characters, jawline, and then just randomized all my stats.
And that's exactly the problem. Because your benefits enrollment is a stat allocation screen, you've got finite points. That's your paycheck. And you're distributing them across health, which is your insurance tier, wealth, which is your 401k and HSA. Risk, which is your S and stock options, and liquidity, which is your actual take-home pay. And the kicker, you can't respect until the next open enrollment, which might be 11 months away.
11 months? That's like being stuck with a strength build in a game that turns out to be all ranged combat.
Perfect analogy. And people lose real money on this. Like, there are documented cases of people missing their 30-day enrollment window by a single day, and forfeiting tens of thousands of dollars in retirement matching over the following year because they had to wait for the next window.
Tens of thousands from missing a deadline by one day.
One day. So let's actually walk through the stats screen. First, your 401k. The 2026 contribution limit is $24,500. A lot of companies auto-enroll you, which sounds helpful, right? Except they auto-enroll you at like 3 to 6%, which, if your employer offers matching, and many tech companies match up to a certain percentage, means you're leaving free money on the table. We're talking $5,000 to $15,000 a year that your employer is literally trying to hand you, and you're not taking it because you didn't change a default.
That's like finding a chest in a dungeon that says free gold and just walking past it.
It's exactly that. Now, next step, health. If you pick a high deductible health plan, you unlock access to an HSA, a health savings account. And this is, I'm not exaggerating, the only triple tax advantaged account in the entire US tax code. Money goes in tax-free, it grows tax-free, and it comes out tax-free for medical expenses. You can contribute up to $4,300 as an individual, or $8,550 for family. Financial planners call this the most powerful savings vehicle most people ignore.
Triple tax advantage. That sounds like a cheat code.
It basically is a cheat code. It's the Konami code of tax planning. But here's the thing. You only get access to it if you pick the right health plan. If you default into the standard PPO because it sounds safer, you've locked yourself out of the HSA for the entire year.
So the character creation choices are gating your available skill trees. That's brutal.
Exactly. Now, third, S, employee stock purchase plan. A lot of tech companies let you buy company stock at a 15% discount. Financial advisors almost universally say max this out and sell each quarter because it's a near guaranteed 15%+ return. There's basically no legal investment that reliably gives you 15%.
And let me guess, the enrollment window for that is also tiny and easy to miss.
Many companies only open ESPN enrollment twice a year. Miss it and you're waiting 6 months. Oh, and here's a trap that's not on the stats screen at all. Your W-4 form. Each employer withholds taxes as if they're your only employer. So if you're in a dual-income household, where you have side income, where you're switching jobs mid-year and had income from your old employer, you might be massively under-withholding. If you end up more than $1,000 short of tax time, the IRS hits you with underpayment penalties.
That's not even a gameplay mechanic, that's like a hidden debuff.
It's a debuff that procs at tax time, and you don't even see the icon, but the fix takes 15 minutes. The IRS has a withholding estimator at irs.gov/W4app. 15 minutes and the debuff is gone.
Okay, I want to be clear for anyone listening. We are giving actual financial advice right now wrapped in a Skyrim metaphor. This is real.
100% real. Now, I do want to flag something, because I don't want to be irresponsible here. The internet gospel of max everything is class-blind advice. If you've got high-interest debt, or an underfunded emergency fund, or you just relocated and your cash flow is tight, the order of operations matters. Step 1. Contribute enough to get your full employer match. Step 2. Attack high-interest debt. Step 3. Build your emergency fund. Then and only then do you start maxing out your other accounts.
So it's not just dump all your points into one stat, it's about the build order.
It's always about the build order. Alright, so you've allocated your stats. Character created. You load into the game. And what do you see?
Oh, hopefully my desk.
You see fog. You see fog of war. Everywhere.
Oh, we're going StarCraft now. I love it.
Think about day one at any new company. What percentage of the codebase do you understand? What percentage of the org chart can you even name? The politics, the unwritten rules, the actual decision makers versus the people with fancy titles. How much of that do you know?
Basically zero. Like, I know my manager's name and where the bathroom is. Maybe.
Right. You've got maybe 5% of the map revealed. And this is where the 30-60-90 day framework comes in, which the tech industry has basically standardized around. Days 1 through 30, absorb. Days 31 through 60, contribute. Days 61 through 90, own. And the way I think about it, each phase is an expansion of your revealed map.
So the first 30 days are pure scouting missions.
Pure scouting, and here is a technique that I think is genuinely one of the highest value things any engineer can do in their first week. Before you write a single line of code, go read the last 20 merged pull requests on your team.
20 PRs, that's your onboarding.
It's the fastest onboarding that exists. You learn the actual code style, not what the style guide says. You learn review culture, are reviews quick and casual or slow and thorough? You learn naming conventions. You learn what done actually looks like for your team. No onboarding document will tell you that. This, you know, PR archaeology.
PR archaeology. That's so good. You're excavating the team's actual norms from their commit history.
And it's reconnaissance. You're defogging the map around your immediate base before you push out. Now, here's the other scouting strategy that research consistently backs up. And it sounds almost too simple. Eat lunch with people outside your team at least twice a week.
Lunch, that's the strategy.
The research is clear on this. People who eat lunch across team boundaries ramp up faster, build broader organizational knowledge, and have higher retention. The cafeteria is infrastructure.
The cafeteria is infrastructure. I want that on a poster.
And this is actually, you know, remember, when we talked about recommendation algorithms back in episode 40, your new company's Slack channels, their wikis, their onboarding materials, those are all recommendation engines for what the org thinks you need to know. Learning to read what's being surfaced to you and, critically, what's not being surfaced, that's its own skill. The algorithm of your onboarding is shaping what kind of employee you become.
That's a little unsettling when you put it that way, like the org is curating your reality from day one.
It is. And the fog of war metaphor captures why that matters. You don't know what you can't see. You have to actively scout beyond what's handed to you.
Okay, so we've got the financial stats allocation, we've got the fog of war scouting, but here's what I want to know, what about the part where you're doing all of this while feeling like a complete fraud?
Yeah, let's talk about that. 44% of all new hires experience imposter syndrome in their first 90 days. In tech specifically, 58%, including people at Google, Amazon, and Meta, including senior engineers, including people who got hired specifically because they're brilliant.
58%. So more than half of us are walking around thinking we somehow tricked our way past the interview.
And here's where I want to introduce our third metaphor, which I think is maybe my favorite one today, the brag document as a bonfire checkpoint.
Oh, we're going Dark Souls. Yes.
So in Dark Souls, bonfires serve three functions. There are rest points. You heal, you recover, there are save points, your progress is locked in, and there are measurement tools. You can look back and see how far you've come through genuinely hostile territory. The brag document works the same way.
Okay, what is a brag document exactly, for people who haven't heard the term?
So this was coined, or at least popularized, by Julia Evans. It's a running log of your wins, shipped features, positive feedback, problems you solved, and back metrics. Anything you're proud of. and her original post about it went viral in tech circles because senior engineers kept realizing they couldn't remember what they'd done in the past year, let alone articulate it during performance reviews.
That's wild. You think you'd remember your own accomplishments?
You forget 80% of what you accomplish by review time. That's the data. Your brain just doesn't prioritize storing that, and this is where it connects to the imposter syndrome piece. Because when you're 3 weeks in and you feel like you've done nothing and you know nothing, if you have a brag doc, you can look back at your last bonfire. Oh wait, I set up my dev environment on day 2. I submitted my first PR on day 10. I got positive feedback on that code review on day 15. Those are real. Those are saved. The feeling of I've done nothing crashes against the documented evidence that you have, in fact, in making progress.
The bonfire doesn't just save your progress, it fights the gaslighting. Your own brain's gaslighting.
Exactly. And I actually want to push back a little on the standard imposter syndrome narrative here, because I think it's gotten over-pathologized. Feeling uncertain when you genuinely don't know things yet isn't a syndrome. It's accurate self-assessment. You are, actually, at a new job where you don't know the systems, the people, or the context. The problem isn't the feeling. It's when it persists past the point where you've actually built competence. I think reframing it as calibration in progress is healthier than treating it as something to overcome.
Calibration in progress. That's a much less scary way to think about it.
And the research backs this up. The APA reports 60% of employees feel significant stress during career changes, and these are wanted transitions. People who chose this. The identity disruption is real. There's a 2024 study in the Annual Review of Organizational Psychology that frames career transitions as involving multiple selves and nonlinear trajectories. Your sense of who you are professionally is literally reconstructing.
Multiple selves. That's terrifying. I mean, it explains why starting a new job feels so existentially weird, but still.
It is weird, and it's even weirder for the fastest growing role in tech right now, which I want to touch on. The forward deployed engineer, FDE postings, have grown 42 times between 2023 and 2025. Average total comp around $238K, going up to nearly half a million at places like Google Cloud, Anthropic, OpenAI, Palantir, Databricks, Salesforce. Salesforce alone is hiring 1,000 of them.
42x growth. That's not a job title, that's a category explosion.
And the thing about FDEs is that your first 90 days are even more intense because you're client-facing from day one. You're embedded directly with customers. You're the face of your company, so you're doing all of this onboarding. The stat allocation, the fog of war, the identity reconstruction, while also being someone's primary point of contact.
That sounds like starting a Dark Souls run, but the first enemy is a boss.
Pretty much, and there's an existential layer on top of all of it for people in AI native roles, because, and this is genuinely something people are grappling with, you're building tools that automate work, including, potentially, your own.
Oh, that's dark.
The career anxiety for an FDE isn't just am I good at this job, it's will this job exist in 3 years? That's a uniquely modern version of the identity question.
So you're speedrunning your first 90 days at a job that might speedrun itself out of existence. That's poetic. Horrifying. Both.
Both. Definitely both. But here's where I want to land, because I think there's an overarching metaphor that ties all of this together. And it's the one I named the episode after. New Game Plus.
Right. We haven't actually talked about that yet.
In video games, New Game Plus means you've beaten the game once and you're starting over, but you keep your skills, your knowledge, your hard-won abilities. The world is different. Maybe harder. But you're not level one. And that's the thing I want everyone listening to internalize. When you start a new job, you are not starting from zero. You carry everything. The technical skills, the communication instincts, the pattern recognition, the mistakes you learned from. The world is new. The map is fogged. The stats screen is unfamiliar. But you've played this game before.
And this connects to something we talked about in the expected goals episode, right? Like, the brag document is basically building your own XG model for your career.
That's a great callback. Yeah, you're collecting data points on your own contributions so that you and your manager can evaluate whether you're outperforming expected output for someone at your tenure. Without the data, everyone's relying on vibes. And vibes are what soccer was using before that RAF wing commander started counting shots.
Stats over vibes. Career analytics. I love it.
So, to bring it all home, your first 90 days, the whole arc. Phase 1, you're at the character creation screen. Take it seriously. Allocate your stats with intention. Don't speed through your benefits. Phase 2, you're scouting through Fog of War. Read those PRs. Eat those lunches. Map the terrain. Phase 3, you're lighting bonfires. Document your wins. Check in with yourself. Remember that calibration in progress is not the same as failure.
And through all of it, remember you're on New Game Plus.
You've done hard things before.
You've done hard things before. The game is new. You're not.
That's genuinely good advice.
I'm going to go update my break document right now.
If I even have one. I think I have a Google Doc from 2023 that just says did stuff.
That counts as a bonfire. A very dim one.
A bonfire that's about to go out, barely an ember.
Alright, so next time on Clowncast, I've been thinking a lot about something adjacent to this. We talked about how companies auto-enroll you, how defaults shape your outcomes, how the systems around you nudge you in directions you didn't choose, and that's a whole field of study. It's called choice architecture, and the people who designed it, Thaler and Sunstein, the whole nudge theory world, they basically gamified human decision-making. So I'm thinking next episode we go deep on nudge theory, default effects, and the design of choices. How the people who build the menus control what you order.
Oh, that sounds incredible. The metagame of decision-making. I'm in.
That's gonna be a fun one. Alright, thanks for listening to Clowncast, episode 50. If you're starting a new job, go fix your 401k contributions. Seriously, do it today.
And write down one thing you did this week.
Light that bonfire.
We'll see you next time. Peace.
Later, everybody.